All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Let's talk some Penn State football recruiting, and recruiting specifically with regards to transfers, because transfers, if you've been paying attention the last couple weeks, with the transfer portal, the new rules that are going to be coming into play, kids are going to be leaving a lot. So does that change the way football programs need to go about who they're bringing in from a recruiting standpoint? Sean Myers covers recruiting for Nittany Sports Now, joins us right now. He just wrote about this week. Sean, how's everything going today, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you, Corey?
All right. Sean wrote a terrific piece for Nittany Sports Now, looking at Penn State's recruiting outside of its traditional region of recruiting base. And that would be, you know, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New Jersey, the DMV. That's the traditional area. Sean, what did you find when Penn State brings in kids from outside this traditional region? Do they stick around?
Well, in general, especially over the past 4 to 5 years, more players actually have ended up transferring than have continued and played their entire career at Penn State. And the reason why I sort of went with this angle, I think you and I were sort of on the same page when we looked at the players who entered the portal leaving Penn State this offseason, or even going back to during the season itself. A lot of the guys who opted to leave Penn State were ones who came in from outside of the region. So you have players from Florida, Texas, Nevada, Oregon over the past 12 months who have all decided to leave. I thought that was sort of a trend, and looking closely, the numbers back that up, where, again, more than half of the players over about a 4 or 5 year span who came from outside of the traditional area ended up transferring.
All right. And so what we need to determine here is if it's a trend, if it is a short-term anomaly type of thing. But Micah Bowens, quarterback from Las Vegas, he entered the transfer portal. He's going to Oklahoma. So we can look at each one of these on an individual basis. Let's look at Bowens specifically. He comes here from Las Vegas. He's behind Sean Clifford. He's behind Will Levis. And he's behind Taquan Roberson. It's realistic to think, okay, this kid really wasn't going to play. So no matter where he's from, if he was from New Jersey, if he's not going to play, he might transfer. Does it heighten these young athletes' decisions to leave if they don't really have any regional, if they don't have family in the region, they don't have a support system within a couple hours away? If the kid's from New Jersey or Maryland, maybe he has family around and he could stay patient a little bit longer. But if he's from Las Vegas, why would he stick around?
Right. I think that's a good point. And another aspect of that is it might not even necessarily be entirely football related.
Yep.
So, for instance, it might be a player who has a decent role or is moving up on the depth chart who ends up deciding that he just doesn't like, you know, the middle of Pennsylvania. So there's all sorts of aspects to this. And I think you mentioned a quarterback. In particular, that's where it seems like players are always going to be transferring if they're not in line with what their expectations are. There's really only one quarterback at any given time that's going to see the field. So that position in particular is very volatile. We've seen that with so many great quarterbacks going to different programs. Obviously, you think of Justin Fields and Joe Burrow and all these different great players. But in general, when I was looking at this, I think your point is well taken. There might be explanations and reasons for each individually, but you sort of look at it in bulk, and the numbers sort of trend that players who come in from outside of this area, unless they become star players pretty quickly, I think they're much more likely to transfer. And the good news is some of those players in recent years have become stars. So you look at a Noah Kane or a Parker Washington. I would certainly hope they're not going anywhere because they have a great role at Penn State. It should lead them eventually to the next level. But the ones who are sort of, you know, backups or fighting for reps, I think those are the players that are much more likely to potentially head out and relocate closer to home in most instances.
Sean Myers joining us from Nittany Sports Now. They bring in a Kevon Lee, a Keziah Holmes from Florida, and that works out. You'd think those guys would stick around for the long haul. But again, you just never know. The main question here is this. I would think, having never recruited a 16 or 17-year-old kid, I would think more effort has to go into recruiting a kid from 1,000 miles away than from 400 or 500 miles away. Now, digitally, it's all still Zooms and text messages and all those kinds of things. But if a kid is from a Florida or a Texas or a Nevada, I would think more time has to be spent selling those types of players on Penn State in rural Pennsylvania, as opposed to if you're in Florida and you're getting sold on Miami and Florida State and UCF and all these places. So do you think I'm right in my assumption that if you're going to recruit a kid from farther away, these coaches have to spend some more time on it? And if they're going to do that, and a lot of these kids end up transferring anyway, Sean, can we connect these dots and maybe make an educated guess that these coaches over time might realize we're putting too much emphasis into some of this?
I think that it sort of depends, because it also depends on your coaching staff and where they're comfortable, where they're familiar.
Right.
We know with the coaching staff assembled right now, I think that they feel pretty confident that they can make some progress and have success in both Florida and Texas. I know that a few coaches who have since moved on, they had the background in Western Pennsylvania. So a lot of that does depend on your assistant coaches, where they're comfortable. But I think what the conclusion I drew is you still need to recruit in California, Florida, Texas, Georgia, Nevada. But it's definitely much more of a boom or bust. These players will come in and they could be really great players for you. Imagine Penn State if they didn't have the players that they have from Florida and Texas last season. The offense would be in really rough shape. But by the same token, I think that there's a larger degree, more likelihood of a bust of a player who does leave the program if it doesn't work out relatively quickly.
Okay, so this gets us to Pennsylvania. And a couple of things here. One, James Franklin talked about how last year when Penn State did not do well in the state of Pennsylvania, he talked about how on several occasions this was the kind of year, a little bit of a down year recruiting in Pennsylvania. Now, the way he said it, he strategically chose his words of Pennsylvania's population is dropping and there are fewer kids. And I mean, he tried to massage it in a way of, okay, there are still a lot of good players in Pennsylvania, but on a prorated basis, maybe not as many. When basically I think what he was saying was last year the top talent in Pennsylvania just wasn't all that great. And so maybe Penn State, yeah, sure, they were interested in them and they didn't get them, but maybe they didn't necessarily feel like it was an enormously bad year if a lot of the players in the state weren't necessarily the highest talent. And now we'll get to next year's recruiting class in a second, because that is a good class. But what do you make of that, Sean? Of are the Penn State coaches really tremendously disappointed for struggling in Pennsylvania last year?
I think that the biggest issue is they're missing on some of their biggest targets who also happen to be from Pennsylvania. You go back to a couple years ago with Julian Fleming, who went to Ohio State. You look at 2021, and the top target by far in the state of Pennsylvania was a legacy to Penn State, Nolan Ricci, and he ended up going to Wisconsin. So you get guys like that. Those are significant misses. That being said, I don't think that Penn State needed to sign 8 to 10 guys from Pennsylvania, but they needed to get a couple of the top ones. Derek Davis is another guy that we talked about extensively. So I think it's magnified because you miss out on some of your top targets who also happen to be in the state. That being said, I'm not suggesting that Penn State needed to sign double-digit players from Pennsylvania. You go back to 2015, I think that was the approach. Let's get the top guys, and let's also get the second-tier guys from the state and really create some inroads. And it worked out pretty well. I think at this point they can kind of pick and choose the very best,
Yeah. But
it's key that they get some of those guys.
Well, they are crushing it for the class of 2022. I don't have the number off the top of my head. I think they have commits of 5 of the top 12, give or take. I mean, they're doing a terrific job for that class. Why is that? Why did they maybe struggle for the class of 2021 in Pennsylvania, but the class of 2022, they've really hit some home runs already?
That's an interesting question, because when you look at the record for the prior season, which is usually translates into the next year's recruiting class, they were coming off of a really nice 2019 campaign, mm-hmm, with 11 wins. I thought that they would have success it didn't translate. But keep in mind what I said before about the coaching staff. There was a lot of turnover. I think there was four new coaches that came in, so that there wasn't a long time relationship and connection between some of those coaches and the players who they were recruiting. I think now, with the exception of a new offensive coordinator, you're probably going to see all the other coaches remain. So you sort of have that background where you're able to work on these kids from the time that they were really, ending their sophomore years all throughout their junior year and now heading into their senior year. So I think that's a big part of it. And another part is maybe I think sort of the realization that James Franklin potentially had that they were spending a lot of time going after these players across the country and not necessarily yielding much in terms of on-field production. Maybe they have shifted a little more focus to getting guys who maybe slightly are down on the board below the guys out of the region, but they feel better about their chances to actually get them to commit and stay with the program for 3 to 5 years.
Sean Myers talking Penn State recruiting. He covers for Nittany Sports. Now, I want to get back to close with the transfer situation. This is the biggest change in college football in my lifetime. I think what we're going to see from the transfer portal going forward with free agency in college football is going to be just massive. Can you summarize or bottom line it for us what you think the transfer portal ultimately will mean for recruiting? And I'm talking about how much time college coaches spend recruiting high school kids. If it used to be 100-0, then maybe it was 90% of their time on high school kids and 10% of their time on elsewhere. Ultimately, what is that dynamic going to be? Could it have to be 70-30 or more that these coaches are going to have to spend the requisite time making sure they're familiar with the portal?
Yeah, I think that's true. And even beyond that, you have to basically continue recruiting your own players on the roster to stay with the program because they can leave now pretty much at any time. So if you have a second-year player who's not starting, who's not getting a lot of reps, you have to really make sure that guy sees that, hey, this is still going to be the right place for me. I think there's a lot of time and energy that has to be put into that so that you don't have a situation where guys are leaving after a year and a half or 2 years, and then they end up realizing it might not be that much better where they go. Look at Justin Shorter. A lot of people thought that he was going to become a star at Florida. Maybe he will, but to this point, it hasn't happened. He probably would have been better served to stay at Penn State.
Yeah.
It didn't, ultimately didn't turn out like that. So Penn State wants to make sure guys aren't leaving prematurely. And with the transfer portal, this is really the first offseason that James Franklin made that a priority. I think it will pay off immediately. And assuming that it does reap benefits on the field, I think that he's going to continue to use it to try to plug holes. I don't think he wants to bring in 5 or 6 transfers every year, but if you can bring in maybe 2 to 3 that Phil needs, I think that will be something that he will continue to do going forward. I think that it was especially necessary this offseason, though.
This is what defensive backs coach Terry Smith said a month and a half ago. There's the old adage, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I've talked to a few players that have left us prior that played at other universities, and they wish they could come back. And these are kids that are having success at other schools. So that's interesting. Everybody, and I've dealt with this in minor league baseball for a long, long time. Minor league baseball players feel like, I'm not getting an opportunity in this organization, this, that, and the other. Then they go to another organization and they get no opportunity and they're done because they weren't a draft pick of that school, that team, and they basically get no shot at all. And so they end up regretting the opportunities that they might have gotten, say, with the Pirates organization or somebody else. Do you get the sense that a lot of kids that have transferred, now look, obviously some kids that transfer, they go on to become stars, and it's fine. But do you have a sense that a lot of kids that transfer maybe wish they hadn't?
I'm sort of a throwback, and I would like to see guys play out their career as long as possible with the school that they sign with. I know that's not a reality now. I think the grad transfers, that's a little bit more acceptable because you've gone through your 3.5 to 4 years at the school. You have a pretty good gauge. You might have maxed out your opportunity at a particular school. You only have one season left. But guys transferring after a season, after two seasons, even mid-season, which you've seen a few times now at Penn State, I'm just not a fan of that. I don't want it to become where it's legitimately a free agency each and every offseason. And I think that these players see, I'm not getting this opportunity now. I need to get another opportunity immediately, as opposed to taking more of a long-term approach. Because we've seen at some of the top schools like Penn State, but in particular Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson, you might wait behind an All-American for 3 years. You get your one season and press in that season, and you're off to the NFL. So we saw that Dwayne Haskins is in the news today. I believe he just signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had to wait his turn. He got one season as a starter at Ohio State, made the most of it. Now you can argue it didn't work out well in the NFL. But I think that that's a path that guys could take. If they're behind really good players who are going to be moving on, you have to wait your 3 years, but then you're able to take advantage of that opportunity in the fourth year. I think those guys are better suited to do that and go against great players each and every day in practice and have to truly earn their opportunity, as opposed to just trying to go to another school thinking a change of scenery will change everything as far as my opportunities. No. Sometimes it works out, but I would say it's, you know, I don't know that it's more than 50% of the time when players transfer that it works out to benefit them.
I am in agreement with you. And even though you're kind of a young guy, that is an old school way of thinking. And I agree with that way of thinking. That ain't the way it's going to be. That's
right.
That's just not the way it's going to be. I go back to when Penn State played Alabama in 2010. Alabama had a string on the same team of running backs, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, and Eddie Lacy. And it's like what you're talking about with Dwayne Haskins. Those guys waited their turn. Those quarterbacks at Ohio State waited their turn. Those running backs at Alabama waited their turn. These kids ain't going to be waiting their turn anymore. Once they can hit the transfer portal, and I'm not talking next year or 2 years or 3 years. Folks, I'm talking for 40 years because they're going to grow up. Kids that are five right now are going to grow up watching football players transfer. It is going to be part of just the way it is. If you're 75 years old, you know the way Major League Baseball used to be. Players were stuck on the same franchise all the time. Then Curt Flood came around and the reserve clause and free agency. But kids that grow up now understand that baseball players can just up and move every single year. It's a different world. I'm very much with Sean. I think that these young kids, 18, 19, 20 years old, that are facing these decisions, a lot of them would just be better off learning the life lessons of sitting behind somebody and waiting their turn and being patient. But the next generation, Sean, I weep for the future of our country with regards to patience, man.
And there's one example I want to give where I think it actually might be really beneficial for the player transferring from Penn State. Judge Culpepper is a Florida guy. He's one that I mentioned in this article. And I thought maybe he would play a decent role this past season with Penn State along the D-line. Never really materialized. So when he entered the transfer portal, first thing I thought of is he's going to go to Florida, because we know that the Gators have taken a lot of former Penn State players. They have a couple on the roster now with Justin Shorter and Antonio Shelton. But he ended up going to Toledo, which he's outside of the Power 5 now. But I think that's probably going to benefit him tremendously, because he will see extensive snaps if he comes anywhere close to his potential.
Yeah.
So maybe if he went to another really good Power 5 school, he wouldn't have played very much. So at least he knows in all likelihood he's going to get on the field. Maybe he will end up being a terrific player for that team. Maybe he won't, but at least he feels like he's getting a true opportunity to see the field. So I think sometimes that makes sense, where a player drops down in caliber to assure that they're going to get that playing time, because everyone wants to be on the field. And if it's not going to work out at a big time Power 5 school, maybe take that route and get those opportunities. Even if it doesn't lead to an NFL career, I'm sure that he's really going to enjoy the opportunity to see probably extensive snaps next season.
It's a great, great example. All right, great stuff there. Sean Myers, you can check out his recruiting coverage at NittanySportsNow.com. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, appreciate it.